Good evening and welcome to another edition of Agar Meditation. Today we have another special, The Value of an Experience. Well, experience is what gives us all the learning that helps us grow in life. So let us take it back to where we all began our journey of life. Our journey of life started years, millions of years ago, with one single purpose, and the purpose that we had was to love ourselves. Simply to love ourselves. That was the only purpose for us to be born. But soon we forgot everything about love and we started getting into desires and attachments. And then we had to discover this way back home. We lost ourselves. We lost our way in the forest. And then for millions of years, literally, we have been searching this way back home. And now it appears as if we have a ray of hope. The last few lifetimes, we've had this ray of hope, which is why the word of any divinity, be it meditation, be it God, be it prayer, be it sadhana, be it japa, is attracting us the last few lifetimes. So now it is time to go home. But to go home, we have to scrub away everything that is attached to us. It is like coming out of forest and you have some thorny bushes stuck on your garment. You have some thorny bushes stuck in your shoes, in your socks, in your pants. So you can't enter your home until you have completely removed all the thorns. Because thorns are simply not allowed inside the house. So you have to remove all the thorns that you have upon you, that you brought from the forest. And once you have completely removed these thorns, you're welcome home. These are the thorns of experiences that we accumulate lifetime after lifetime. And we just want to get back into that house where we came from, but we are not ready to remove those thorns. Instead of removing the thorns, we are complaining that the thorns are so painful. We are complaining that these thorns do not allow you to rest. They are burning, they are pinching, they are poking, they are pricking, they are creating a wound. We are constantly complaining and whining. But the only thing that we have to do is to just remove them. And before you remove them, you need to identify them. And the way you do that is through the process of reflection. And once you reflect, you know that these are thorns. You are not the thorns. Your mind is not the thorn. Your emotions are not the thorns. But these thorns are just experiences. But your perceptions are the ones which make these wounds appear larger, more painful, more pricky. The ones that take away your peace and rest. And now you have to remove these thorns one by one by working on yourself so that you can come back home. If you have been watching the political disturbances the world around, you must realize that peace, or rather, 1,000 years of peace is not far away. Bharat is going to be the Vishwaguru, and you will see the last stretch of darkness trying to hold itself, be it Hamas, Israel, or US, or Iran. They are just trying to hold on to the last ray of darkness, wanting to restore darkness on the planet so they all can control. Whereas the Ramarajya has begun, where everlasting peace and light is going to shine. This may be the last lifetime that you have of learning. Once Ramarajya begins, then there's no more learning. There is going to be everlasting bliss. So if you did not learn in this lifetime, if you did not rescue yourself from all those experiences, learn from all those experiences, and brought yourself to the doorstep of your home and step in, you may not be able to do it for another 1,000 lifetimes. So this is where you are. And that is the reason why we are conducting these meditations, so that you can get back home. So let us begin again with the Maypole meditation. As always, imagine you are sitting in a golden circle of light. The size of the circle is as wide as your outstretched arms and with fingers extended. In front of you, imagine a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from its sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can imagine any other name and form to replace this sphere. In your inner scene, see yourself get up from your seat, walk up to this pole, and hold on to any ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any clutter, any anxiety, anything that may be occupying your mind, preventing you from just relaxing. Breathe in this relaxing energy and breathe out everything, all the clutter, all the anxiety, all the restlessness, all the anger that you may be carrying. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy and breathe out any pain, disappointment, distress, blame, any anger, sorrow, fear, any sense of rejection, anything that you are carrying which is taking away your peace. Let it all go. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences, negative perceptions, negative judgments. Everything that causes pain and suffering, let it all go. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, fatigue, or even a sense of weakness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love and breathe out everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, any sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, and anything else that you wish to release that prevents you from receiving this unconditional love from the higher consciousness. Now come back to conscious awareness and slowly open your eyes when you're ready. We all want to be happy, but we impose conditions to being happy. Happiness is unconditional. Happiness is not the result of something. It just is. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the consequences, and no matter what the challenge is, happiness simply is. We all need to relearn the way to be happy despite all odds. How were you when you were a toddler? How your toddlers behave. If you have adult children, just go back to your memory. How were they when they were toddlers? They were happy no matter what. When they were hungry, they will bring the roof down. When they are thirsty, when they want to play something, and if you did not provide them with something that they demanded, they would bring the roof down. That's because they simply wouldn't compromise on their happiness. Happiness was everything for them until they grew up and followed the directions of the elders. And the elders taught them that happiness is not everything. They told them, you must work towards your happiness. And the children believed them and lost their happiness. And now we are here, desperate to go back to how we were so right, having happiness as everything. And if you want happiness to be everything, then you cannot impose conditions. Challenges are the way to learn. And it's when you learn that you rediscover happiness. It is like being anxious about something that's coming ahead, something that is in the future, something that a time in the future, maybe tomorrow, being anxious about something that's going to happen tomorrow. But when the event actually happens, when it occurs, you discover that it's not a big deal. It wasn't as big as you thought. It wasn't as messy as you believed it to be. It wasn't as confusing as you imagined it to be. It was okay, actually. And you felt a sigh of relief. But the question is, why the struggle for so many hours before you discovered that peace? You could have just allowed yourself to relax. And that's the way to happiness. Just allow everything to happen, to unfold. What you need to do is to just prepare to face the experiences. That's all you need to do. Prepare to face the experiences. Once you face the experiences, then there's the learning when you reflect on them. Now, how do you learn? This is a very important part. When you judge, you don't learn. When you observe, you learn. The difference is that when you observe, then you're not judging, you're not prejudiced. You're just watching the experience. But when you judge, you're prejudiced. You're no longer watching. You're creating perceptions. You are assuming. And in that assumption and that perception, you begin to experience pain even when there is no pain. That's what happens when you are not operating from awareness. So the practice is to be aware, and when the experience unfolds, just to observe the experience. Can you practice observing every day? All the meditations that we teach are only of observation. Can you observe? Observe the words that you speak, listen to what you speak. And you will realize that when you listen what you speak, the words that you speak begin to change. The tone at which you speak begins to change. The deliverance becomes softer, more harmonious, smooth, and the words are chosen before they are uttered because you are listening to them. This is what happens when you are in awareness. You return to love, you return to happiness, you return to harmony. But the practice of observing does not stay for long because we're habituated to judge. We're habituated to be prejudiced, to keep the mind busy with one thing or the other. But in judgment, there is so much clutter. But in observation, there's absolutely no mind. To observe and to not make sense of anything is the simplest way of existence, but it's not the easiest because it takes effortlessness to observe. And here we are so used to putting effort unnecessarily that we want to keep doing something. We can't simply sit. We can't simply observe anything for more than a few seconds at a time. So what we need to do now is to just observe. Let us practice this right now, right here. So the way to observe is to simply let it all be. So keep your eyeballs in a downward gaze and the eyelids closed. And allow yourself to just be present to everything that's happening around you, but make sure that your eyeballs are down. Just maintain your awareness with your eyeballs down and keep your eyelids closed. Let everything around you happen as it is. Do not draw any conclusion, no perceptions. And you let your eyeballs not rise, let them be just in a downward gaze. Thank you. All right. You can open your eyes now. I want some feedback. What happened to your senses, your sense organs? What happened when these sounds occurred? Does anyone want to give a feedback? What happened when the sounds occurred? What happened to your eyes? Yes, Ramesh Babu.
So when we hear something, our eyeballs try to rise actually.
Correct.
But when we try to keep it down, then we are able to only listen. So
did you realize that when the eyeballs were down, there was only a sound and no visual?
Yes.
And as the eyeballs rise, there is a visual along with the sound.
Definitely, sir. Definitely. In fact, I would like to share that this was a mistake I was making. And for past few months, I could realize that when we keep the eyeballs down, we are still and we are able to observe.
That's correct.
Yes.
With all the clutter in the mind, we have developed this sensory confusion. The sensory confusion in the sense that when there is a sound, the visual is associated with it. But it's only the sound that we're interested in. We're not interested in the visual. But because of sensory confusion, we are unable to separate sound from the visual and unable to separate the visual from the sound. So we have to declutter our senses so we can once again discover peace, which means sound is pure sound. No visual attached. And the way to do that is to keep your eyeballs down. Is anyone else who would like to share a feedback? Anyone else who would like to share what they experienced? Were you able to maintain the eyeballs down? Or did the eyeballs keep rising? All right. So we have to constantly do this practice of bringing in that silence within so that we can simply observe without prejudice, without any emotion. This will lead us to just observe an experience. For example, you are in traffic and there is someone else coming from the other side and the road is narrow. Now, the other person is honking, indicating to you that you need to reverse. But behind you, there are certain vehicles and you can't reverse. Now, you would like to explain to this person that you cannot reverse, but he has to reverse because not many vehicles behind him. But in the inability to convince him or communicate with him, you're getting frustrated. How many of you have experienced this kind of a situation? Where you experience confusion, where you experience confrontation in your mind, where you're beginning to get angry, frustrated, irritated. In these situations, you just have to observe. Just observe. He's honking. But why is he honking? He's honking because he's got a horn. Most of us don't even understand why we use the facilities given to us. Does honking measure up to communication? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It is simply venting out a way to vent out your frustration. But does the honk by itself increase the intensity and the tone and the octave? The harder you press, you wish it would, but it doesn't. It's just the same tone, same octave, same volume, but for longer. So what you have to do is to simply observe. Don't comment. Don't be prejudiced. Similarly, in every situation, when people give reasons and excuses for being late, for absenting themselves, for example, your home help, you get irritated. You can tell that they are lying. It takes a fleeting moment to judge them and how you wish you could reprimand them. But if you did, they will leave the work and they won't come back again. But they are the only ones you have. You can't look for a replacement so soon. It may take weeks at length. So what do you do with the reasons and excuses they are giving you? You don't do anything. Just observe. You have no idea why in the first place they are giving you a reason and excuse. They must be having some problem somewhere, which is why they are even absenting themselves. Why would somebody absent themselves from an environment which gives them money, salary? We would like to believe that they want to work at so many places because they get so much more money. But we have no idea of the struggles that they have to go through to make their ends meet. I'm not asking you to be compassionate. I'm not asking you to forgive them. I'm not asking you to tolerate them. I'm just asking you to observe. Practice not having a judgment. Practice just being. And that's what will erase the consequence of the experience. It is absolutely important for you to not allow a consequence to manifest as a symptom, either in your mind or your body. There should be no residue. The only way there can be no residue is when you allow the experience to manifest and the experience to finish itself without interfering. You have to act, but you have to act without emotion. You have to act because your action is needed. But don't associate yourself with the results of the action, because that will produce a consequence. Act because your act is what is needed at that moment. And once your action is finished, simply withdraw. This is the way of just being. Every experience that you are going through, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, whether it's at work, every experience that you are going through every single day is bringing you a rich learning. It is just ending a part of your karma. It's just finishing a part of your karma. And if you choose to react, then you create more karma. So imagine the value of this experience that is coming to you only to burn your karma. And these karma that are burning are the thorns that you have on your garments, which you have to clean before you enter your house. Now understand how powerful these experiences are. Now understand how much you need these experiences. When we are not mature in our minds, we do not understand the value of an experience. When we have the strength in our body, in our bones, and when we have the strength in the mind, then we choose to react in every possible way to square off old grudges, to win battles, arguments. We do all that when we have the strength in our body and in our mind, and when we are not exactly ripened in life. But when we ripen, and when the strength in the body and the mind reduces, that's when we understand the value of an experience. We desperately want to go home, but we will have so many thorns on our garments that it's not time enough before we remove all the thorns. And so we have to leave the body outside the doorway, and we come back in another new body with all the thorns that were there in the old body. And once again, we have to rediscover that we have thorns on this body and we have to remove all these thorns. Until we do that, we cannot enter our house. Until we do that, we cannot return home. So I have a question here with a show of hands. Please tell me, how many of you really want to get back home? And now I have the next question. How many of you are working towards it? When I say working towards it, it's not 5 times a week. It's not 4 times a week. It's not so many hours a day. You have to be at it as much as you can. You have to be at it as much as you can, which means that you need to be aware almost all of the time. It takes quite a bit of your energy. That's because we have allowed ourselves to be drifted away from the path. And we have to come back to our course, redirect ourselves to the right course. And it takes effort, determination, and continuity. It takes commitment. Unless you commit yourself, unless you commit yourself to coming back home, you cannot. You have to be at it all the time. The reason why you cannot is because the mind is so powerful that it will convince you that it's okay. Tomorrow, later, maybe, it's okay. It'll give you all these reasons and excuses. It'll do all that to take you away from you going back home. Because when you get back home, the mind has no other role to play. It's like a chainsaw. You don't carry your chainsaw inside your house. It doesn't belong there. You'll put it in your garage. Or maybe someplace where all the tools are. That's what the mind is all about. When you come back home, you leave all the tools behind. You don't carry your muddy, dirty tools into your house. If you're married, your wife will drive you out. So the easiest way to do is to put the tools all away in the toolbox or to put it away in the garage so that you can enter the house. Likewise, when you come back home, the mind has no other role to play. It goes back to the toolbox. So the mind will prevent you from putting it away. What you have to do is to practice keeping the mind in the toolbox, retaining it in the toolbox until it's absolutely necessary to use it. That's what you need to do. And that is why you need to meditate. That is why you do the japa. That is why you do the namasmarana. That singular reason to prevent yourself from picking up the mind unnecessarily. How many of you, soon after your meditation, look up your WhatsApp, your Instagram? How many of you do that? So stop doing it. From today, stop doing it. Your meditation is not, a break between your activities. All right? The activity should be a break from meditation. Look at life in that perspective. Let all your activities be a break in your meditation. Just get back to meditation, and when you have to act, pick up the mind. This is the course that we would want to draw, we would want to travel on, where we intensify and increase the time of meditation. It's not about sitting cross-legged in one place. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm indicating to you is to maintain awareness. Maintain that awareness all of the time, and when you have to act, pick up the mind and act. And once the action is done, put it away and get back to your meditation. It may take a few japa or namasmarana to get back into meditation, get back to observing everything as it is. That's the way to be. So let us do one other small meditation before we end this session, and we'll just focus on keeping the mind away. Put it to work. It's like the genie. If you don't give it work, it'll eat you up. So let's give work to this mind. Sit with your back, neck and head straight. Eyeballs down, eyelids closed. Focus your attention on the nostrils. Your breath is traveling inside and outside of the nostrils. Just focus your attention in the nostrils. Just observe the breath. Observe the coolness of the breath in your nostrils. And observe everything else that is happening in the nostrils. Just keep your eyeballs down. Don't lose your awareness. Every time you feel that you're drifting away, come back, pull yourself back. Open your eyes. With a show of hands, how many of you were able to maintain awareness throughout? Very good. How many of you lost your awareness in between? Right. So practice. All you have to do is practice. Just imagine, I mean, if you feel, if the mind is telling you it's very difficult, and if you believe that it's so difficult, just remember that when you were born, you didn't know where your hand and leg was, but today you're walking so well, even without awareness, you're walking. You didn't know how to eat. You didn't know you had a mouth. But then you learned, and today you eat with your eyes closed. You eat while watching the television. And you forget when to stop, you overeat. Just imagine all the activities that you are doing today, including your smartphone, which the first smartphone that you bought. Before it came, you didn't even know what a smartphone was, but when it came to you, you didn't know how to operate it. But today you know how to operate it so well, you can do it effortlessly. Everything took the one thing, that's practice. So all you have to do is to just practice. And you just have to practice more frequently so he can get to that space. That's all. It's very simple, but practice is what makes it easy. Otherwise, it's simple, but not easy. So let us start practicing from today. And from today, let us start increasing our time in sadhana, in observation, in meditation, so that all the work that we do and all the activities that we perform becomes the break in our sadhana. Is this a fair thought? What do you think? Yes or no? Good. So let us increase this. So it takes our commitment. And once you commit, you cannot go back on your commitment. You have to stay with your commitment, because the mind can destroy, distort, and make you compromise. Don't listen to the mind. It's a tool. It's a fantastic tool that can be used to manipulate, to alter facts, and to alter plans, schedules. It can do good things and bad things at the same time. It is a tool. So let us use this tool to accomplish our objective. And we have one single objective: to go back home. And for that, we need to practice removing all the thorns that we have on our garments. That's what we need to do. And let us just do it. Let us just be at it. No compromises. We are such a strong group here. Let us be there for one another and just pulling each other up to meditate more consistently, more effectively, more efficiently, so that we all can collectively go back home. This world will be a better place with our practices. Thank you very much for being with each one of us, to each one of you. And let us connect again next week. Keep practicing. If you have any questions, we are right here to answer all your questions, all your queries, all your doubts. If you need help, you just need to sound it. And we are all here. We'll stand up for each other. With this, I'll end today's session. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful weekend. Have a beautiful week. And let's connect next Saturday. Lots of love to all of you.